Hear now Luke's account of Jesus' resurrection. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and then he went home, amazed at what had happened. May God bless the reading and hearing of this, God's holy word. I'm just going to put it out there for us this morning. We want to know if it's true, don't we? We want to know deep down in our bones if it's true that Jesus, who was dead, is alive again. Because if it's true, then we've got something really important and really worth holding on to. But if it's not true, well, then we've got to keep searching for the truth. We've got to look for the real deal wherever it may be. We've got to find that which is true. And we have to hold on to that. And so, especially on Easter, on this highest of days, we are faced with such an incredible, unbelievable story. And we become truth seekers. We ask again, is the resurrection really true? Did the women really find angels and an empty tomb? Our antenna come up. Our radar switches turn on. Our questions bubble to the surface. And we ask ourselves, is this Christianity thing really worth all of our time and our money and our effort? Is it really worth being a disciple or not? Is it true? Well, throughout these last 40 days of Lent, which seem like a year, long, cold winters in Vermont, Lent that doesn't seem to end, but during this Lent, and quite prayerfully during this last Holy Week, I've asked God a number of times what I might say this morning, you know, to a room full of people like us who carry this question around with them about whether or not the resurrection is really true. And I asked about what I might say to those of us who are seeking and maybe have been seeking for a long time to claim an answer to that question, not only on Easter Sunday, but to claim it the whole rest of the year, too. I thought, maybe if I preached the perfect Easter sermon. I mean, maybe if I had wonderful jokes and powerful stories and great illustrations. And then, once you were all softened up, I could make this passionate a plea for you to believe. Just believe that God loves you. Just believe that God rolled the stone away and defeated death and turned towards us and saved us. Maybe then, with the perfect sermon like that, maybe then we'd all believe. Maybe then we'd have the answer we could claim. Or maybe I could just pour out my own heart as a witness to my own faith and belief in the resurrection. And maybe my pouring out of my heart would be contagious enough to infect everybody so that you might believe and that you might become witnesses and that you might go out there and tell other people about the resurrection too. Maybe that's what I could do. But the more I thought about it this week, and the more I asked God to guide the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, the more I prayed about it, the more I heard these words. It's good enough, I heard. I heard that the gospel is sufficient. I heard that it's plenty. And I heard, trust the gospel story. It's good enough, Kevin. But God, I said, this is Easter. I mean, this is the big day. This church will be filled with people, and the flowers will be beautiful. This is the biggest Sunday of the year. Certainly everyone will expect a big Easter sermon. How can I disappoint? It's good enough, God whispered. But God, I said, maybe this Sunday someone will come here who really needs to hear the gospel, and maybe they won't be able to understand the story, so maybe if I just clarify just a few little details. It's good enough, I heard. But maybe, God, it's good enough. But what if I just, it's good enough, Kevin. But come on, you gotta let me tell that story about the time that I, it's good enough. Those are hard words for a Gabby preacher to hear. That it's good enough. I pouted a little bit the more I thought about it, but then I remembered these words from John's gospel, which say that he must increase, but I must decrease. Or to say it more poetically, less of me and more of thee. And that is when it started to make sense to me. Of course, God, it's good enough. Because when all is said and done, when all the sermons have been preached and listened to, when all the hymns have been sung, and the potluck suppers are cleaned up, and the missions efforts are completed, when the committee meetings are over, and the stewardship appeal is counted, all we are left with is simply the story which speaks for itself. All we're left with is the story that speaks powerfully enough in its own voice and with its own words to make all of those other things we do in this church make any sense at all. And though it may make us wince to hear sometimes that nothing that we say or do, no matter how eloquently we say it or how well-intentioned we do things, none of it, apart from the gospel itself, will ever be able to make anyone believe anything, let alone something as unbelievable and incredible as Jesus, who was dead and is now alive again. It's good enough. And so on this Easter Sunday, precisely because the pews are filled, precisely because the flowers are so very beautiful, precisely because this is the highest of days in the church, and precisely because there are many seekers among us who really want to know if the gospel story is true, it's precisely because of that that what we really need the most today is simply the story itself. The story which is good enough. Good enough to speak to our hearts, good enough to speak to our doubts, good enough to speak to us truth seekers, good enough to provide some answers for us, and good enough all by itself, without embellishment, to bring light and life into our lives and into our world. Thanks be to God, the gospel's author, the story that is good enough. Well, taking that seriously, that the gospel is good enough, I thought as a way of focusing our attention on the story would be over the next few minutes to read the gospel account a few different times. And after each reading, some members of our drama team will come forward and assume a pose to kind of help us act the story out, to bring it to life, put it in three dimensions for us. And at the end of the last reading, they will just hold there for a minute or so and to let you all meditate on the picture of the gospel. My hope is that that will be burned into you and that you will carry that with you today as you leave here and go out into the world. So, before we begin, I invite you to get comfortable. You can do the hokey pokey if that works for you. You can breathe deeply and settle yourselves as we come to the gospel that is good enough. We begin. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. And then he went home amazed at what had happened. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. Through the gospel that is good enough, may we all believe. Through the gospel that is good enough, may we find the answers that we seek about the God who loves us, the God of life, the God of all. Thanks be to God for the word, the gospel, that's good enough. Amen.